You're now listening to another episode of the 10 Man Podcast. And today I'm bringing you another Genshin Impact update. I'm going to give you guys my thoughts on the 2.4 update so far. We're about to end the Zhaori run Shenhe banner. And then I will also give you guys some leaks for 2.5, okay? But first and foremost, I'd like to thank everyone for joining me again. You guys keep listening to that New Year's episode, and I appreciate it for Genshin Impact listeners out there. I appreciate you guys, listening to my anime stuff too, so that's cool. Anyway, the first thing I want to talk about, like I said, is a 2.4 update, impressions, the patch impressions. This time around, I had the opportunity to C6, Constellation 6, my Zhao. Obviously, hashtag whale life. Basically, though, as far as a unit, Zhao is amazing at C6. I love him being able to utilize, that E-skill spam for 1 second. It's pretty fun whenever you're able to utilize all of it. Obviously, overworld, nothing's going to live long enough for you to utilize it to its maximum capacity. But, in Abyss, there's opportunities. But, do I recommend you getting any constellations for him? My answer, no. Do I recommend you C6ing him if you can? If you love him, yes. If you, are meta following, in the Abyss right now, he's not, the last few patches, he's just not, the best character to use. But that did not, stop me from C6ing him. I just wanted to experience, the full gameplay of what Zhao has to offer. That being said, I retired my wallet. I am not, a contributor financially to Moyo or Cognosphere anymore. But anyways, yeah, my final thoughts though on C6 Zhao, for me, totally worth. I'm able to utilize them because, I have, Raiden Shogun to battery them in Abyss. Obviously I have Anemo units if I want to run Jean in Abyss, cool. He's just there's too many phases, though, in the Abyss where, let's say the Magu Kenki, you can't, one-shot him with a burst or something like that. He has too many invulnerable frames, so it just really, doesn't help, especially, against, let's say, if not the Magu Kenki, right now in the Abyss we got, Herald, that fire lector, right? Or the PMA, their perpetual mechanical array. Since that has two phases, right? It's really hard to use Zhao because, or let's say the primordial, not primordial, the primo, the Geo Vishap. Yep, the primo Geo Vishap. So basically, you got a lot of single target enemies and it just doesn't get to utilize Zhao C6. He's basically dropped down to C1. But that being said, C0 is enough. C6 actually requires some more thought for efficient activation of the constellation, right? Because, you jump, do your skill. You might be going different places and not to the enemies you want because you kind of have to spam your skill after you plunge, within that 1 second, you get 1 second of refreshes. So that's a downfall for C6 Zhao, just because you can't always activate it. But Zhao main since his first release, so no regrets. My final thought though, do not spend money on this game. Okay. It's free to play. Have fun playing for free. It's more exciting whenever you get characters that are just not expected, right? Anyway, that being said, I'm going to go ahead and move on to my next topic here. I'm going to be talking about Shenhua, my impressions on her. A lot of content creators have been saying the same things, but, you know, after my testing, I got her to level 80 out of 90. She has, you know, the, she has my, I think it's Skyward Spine. That's what it is. And then, you know, two Glad, two Shimanawa, all attack build. If you want more damage, though, you probably want to go, like attack, attack, crit or something like that. But, you know, if you're just using her for support, just full attack build is cool. If you, for some reason, if you want to do the sub DPS build, you, like attack, cryo, crit for some reason has been based on math pretty good, actually, over full support attack, attack, attack. You know, already set up. Anyways, my thoughts on Shenhua. She's not necessary to pull for, you know, a niche character such as her. Like, her damage achieved is pretty cool for cryo DPSs, though. So, like, I mean, let's say you're new. I don't know. You're planning to get Ganyu next or something like that. Cool. It's going to be tough, right, if you're free to play, because obviously Shenhua is right before Ganyu's banner. But if you have, like, Ayaka or something, I haven't tried any other cryos besides, like, Ayaka, or cryo DPS besides Ayaka and Ganyu. But, you know, so far the damage has doubled, basically, for, you know, my free teams for Ganyu and Ayaka. And, you know, so far, for the second half, like, Shenhua teams, you know, cryo teams for the second half for floor 12 has been the easiest time, you know, to effectively clear it. Any other team kind of, like, struggles a little bit. I mean, chamber 12 is pretty easy. I mean, chamber 3 is easy, but, like, obviously the first two chambers are a little bit, you know, a little bit more DPS oriented, right? So, like, my Chungyeon's only 60 out of 70, so I couldn't really, like, utilize him, or, and man, my freaking Kaya is still, like, level 26, so there's no using him right now. But anyway, the damage achieved, though, based on her just being a support for cryo, is pretty significant. Like, if you already have two Abyss teams that are, like, clearing Abyss prior to, you know, Shenhua, and you're already using your ice characters, your cryo characters, rather, prior to Shenhua, and, like, I don't think she's a necessary pull. You might be better off saving. But, I mean, you know, if you barely only have one team right now, and the other team is, like, a cryo team that, you know, still needs some help, you know, because you're free to play or something, or low spender, yeah, pull for Shenhua. She'll help your cryo team out. Otherwise, you know, I think you're better off utilizing your primos for something else, some other character. Maybe even Zhao, if you didn't even use him. But he's, you know, like I said, he's not, like, the best in the meta right now. I'm still able to clear the Abyss with him, but like I said, it takes a little bit more, you know, investment in your other characters. He can't just hyper carry in this Abyss like he used to. But anyway, Shenhua as a character, great character. Not necessary, though, for, like, most of us, right? Anyways, another character I want to give my impression on that just released was Yun Jin. She's definitely an interesting support buffer. I like the fact that her E skill is, like, a shield Beidou counter thing, you know. I like that effect. I do like how you can go low invest and just throw on, like, you know, your defense arties that are trash or whatnot, or like I'm running two defenders, and like some other random stuff because I'm not trying to farm for, you know, opulent husk and, you know, the ocean-hued clam. That's just too much, you know. That's just too much. Like, I'm working on my EULA right now for, like, the last month, and I have not gotten any Pale Flame Artis that are usable for her. So right now my EULA is stuck with, like, two Glad, two Bloodstain, but, you know, she's fine. She's still doing, like, 370k bursts, so it's fine. But anyways, back to Yunjin. You know, she's really great for your NAs, your auto attackers, like, obviously Yoimiya. I mean, she's cool because, you know, she attack buffs after her burst. She gives you a shield with her E skill. I mean, you know, a lot of these characters obviously should be support, helping you do more damage with your main DPS. So, you know, based on her kit, I really like her kit. I just haven't had the time to build her because, you know, I'm working on other characters. But my Yunjin at level 20 out of 40 with, like, some... with decent arty and, you know, good weapon. She's actually pretty... doing some pretty good damage increase just on that low level. So, I mean... imagine having more of, you know, investment in her. And, you know, you're just going to get a lot more efficiency with your runs. If you, you know, have a slot for her, you can kind of like easily slot her with like Geo Rocks teams, you know, like dual Geo and then like Yoimiya and like Bennett or something like that. Let's see, who are other auto attackers? Like, I guess, I don't know if Child gets her boost, but maybe Child. I don't know. Like I said, I haven't done too much Yunjin testing. Mine's still at level 20 out of 40, so I couldn't give you a very in-depth analysis. But, you know, like my Shenhe build, you know, these are just support characters. I feel like unless you needed that kind of support, Shenhe or Yunjin are definitely not, like, must-pulls or anything. As a whale, you know, like, it's going to be hard to replace, like, Bennett. It's going to be hard to replace... you know, Zhongli. It's gonna be hard to replace Xingqiu. Like those three are always on teams. You know, my Jean and my Diona get used plenty. And then after that, you know, you got Albedo. It's really hard to fit in more characters to want to build. You know, when you're doing so well and you just want your characters doing better, stronger, right? I mean, I'm clearing Abyss just fine, so, like, 36 stars, so, it's not really a thing, you know, for me. But for you guys, you know, should you build Yunjin? I would say yes, if you're, you know, especially if you're going with the Arataki Ito thing, or, you know, if you got some good, another Geo unit to run with her, just so you can, you know, battery that, or, you know, give you that Geo Resonance, which gives you, you know, I think 20% attack buff with a shield or after a crystallized shield. I'm not sure. I forgot what that was. I don't really pay attention to those things. I just like Oonga Boonga sometimes. Anyway, as far as the Ekonomiya region, just last night, I 100% of the map, did all the quests. There's still like, I think, a handful of Seelies, like four Seelies I gotta find for some reason. I think there's 39. I found 35. But anyways, my thoughts, the new Viz apps, they're kind of meh. I don't really expect too much though. I mean, it's the same old song. They're Viz apps. They're whatever element they end up being is just, you just burst it down. I don't know, like I'm not really ever worried about mishaps ever. It's like whenever you run into them in the Abyss, you're kind of like lucky because it's just like the easy chamber. Anyway, also the new Abyss Lector, that fire dude or the ice dude, I don't, like, they're kind of meh, they're boring. I'm like over trying to fight those things. Like, not that they're hard, it's just like is not really interesting for me, because, you know, like, they have that shield that comes on after, you know, you bring them down. So, like, it's, like, unnecessarily long for a fight, unless you're, like, you know, doing the national team and it's basically hitting him with a bunch of elements at once. So, like, the shield diminishes faster. If you're just doing, like, you know, straight up attacks, it takes long and it's just not fun. It's just boring. I mean, obviously, if you're using, let's say the new fire elector that's in floor, I think 12-1. If you're just using a hydro character, I mean, literally after you get shield up, you just spam your autos and, you know, destroy that, like, totem it brings up, and then he's down to half and pretty much easy after the shield's up. Like I said, you know, those fights are kind of boring. The new elite boss fight versus the new hydro vishaps is pretty fun, actually. I like that there's, like, phases, and, like, I kind of, like, go through trying to, like, one phase it before they you know, before that electro vishap, like, jumps onto the pillar and they separate, and then they attack you from different sides. But yeah, it's like you get that hydro vishap and the electro vishap that you have to fight, and it's pretty cool. I mean, like, I like being able to one phase it before that split. That's the one part I do enjoy. Otherwise, it's, you know, business as usual. If you're good at the game, it's not really hard. But it's definitely fun, though. I mean, I like that new boss, actually. As far as exploration, it's new. That's pretty much it. There's not really much to expect after so many updates, right? It's like the same formula, which is fine. Otherwise, like, the thing that made it different was, like, you have, like, the Evernight and, like, White Knight, you know, mechanics for Economia. So, you know, there's, like, puzzles like that you have to utilize, and there's different, like, keystones you have to attack to open wall doors or something like that, hidden walls and shit. Or, you know, you got the key sigils, you know, that was cool. You know, I that was definitely different. I actually liked the exploration of Economia more than I did, you know, any of the Inazuma updates. Economia was actually really fun to go through. Besides going and looking for, the royal tombs, the 7 of them. For some reason, it took me forever to find those. I didn't want to Google it. That's why. I didn't want to cheat, man. I'm a content creator. I gotta try it myself. Anyway, finishing the soccer tree that we got to do in this update was really anticlimactic. Because, I mean, by the time the update dropped, like, I mean, basically most of us were waiting to just give the rest of our stuff to the tree. Or, you know, the electro sigils, right? And then obviously, the more exploration you did in Economia, you got the rest of them to finish out the soccer tree. The rewards were definitely meh. I mean, it's fine. No complaints. The story for Economia was definitely interesting. It was meh for me, though. I mean, at this point, unless it's a voice actress or a voice actor I want to listen to, I'm, like, fast clicking the dialogue, right? I don't know. I feel like I'm not missing anything. Like, story-wise, I don't know. It's not really important. Anyway, I definitely did the Jade Chamber quest. That was cool, I guess. Definitely was weird getting stones in Liwa that, like, are supposed to be there. Or that aren't there normally. Anyway, I don't know. It's like it's kind of cool. It was definitely nice seeing, you know, those characters again. What's her face? Freaking stuff. The Jade Chamber chick. Mommy Ningguang. Oh man, I don't know why I couldn't think of her. But it was cool seeing her. What else do I talk about that region? As far as the update, I think that's all I have to talk about for the update. That was all my thoughts that I could remember recollecting and stuff. Did you guys know about Cognosphere? Okay. Cognosphere, is that ringing a bell? Cognosphere? MiHoYo's like publishing new publishing like company. I don't know if it's new, but like they switched over their publishing rights to Cognosphere because it was at the end of November. I'll tell you why soon. Genshin Impact, they changed their publishing companies. Does it end Genshin Impact? Does that mean it's going to be the end of it? Of Genshin Impact? No. Cognosphere is a publishing company owned by MiHoYo, based in Singapore, away from the Chinese headquarters. Okay, so for those of you guys that don't know, the Chinese government, the CCP, they have like really, really, really strict censorship laws. They have heavy restraints on characters being depicted in media, such as like being effeminate males or like really lewd women. They're all being canceled, right? So Amber, Jean, and Mona, they're about to be given a costume update for 2.5. We're all going to get that for free for all four. They're all like more modest covered accessories and outfits. But unfortunately for the Chinese server, it's going to be actual mandated. These characters are just going to be updated with those. They're not going to have the old outfits for them. But that, you know, it's unfortunate for the Chinese server. But it also, the fact that Cognosphere is a publishing company now instead of MiHoYo, lets us still have all the lewd fun that we already have, right? In the game. And nothing's going to be taken away from us internationally. So, you know, let's look forward to that. All right. Anyways, that being said, right? TBS. 2.5 leaks. We're going to get into them now. Yae Miko officially announced to release in 2.5, right? There's been, you know, in beta, at first she tested really weak. People were not really excited for her. Since then, buffs have been implemented after the start of the 2.5 beta testing. And 3 out of her 6 constellations have been tweaked before the 2.5 release. And I'll talk about them later. And then, let's see. A buff to Yae Miko. Now deals AoE damage with her burst. Okay, so that's going to be good if it was a single target before. That'll be helpful for, you know, the Abyss that we mainly have. Oh, wait, well, I mean, it's a mix. It's a mix. We get, like, many enemies and sometimes just one, so it might not matter. Her burst now converts nearby Sesho Sakuras to Sky Kitsune Thunderbolts, all right, which means I'll tell you what it means soon, but her burst has a 90 cost, right, and 22 second cooldown, and one of the leakers from the beta testing, Yubacha, confirmed that Yae was buffed, and the Tenko Thunderbolt at level 10 went from 528% damage at burst to 600% damage at level 10. So now the whole burst converts nearby Sesho Sakura to Sky Kitsune Thunderbolts. Relevancy is that Yae Miko can do 1800% Q damage if you have 3 of her E's casted, right? And that's going to be huge damage, right? I mean, like, that's like Raiden number damages, But I don't know. Obviously, it's not going to be like all one shot. I think it's going to be like three separate Thunderbolts for a total of 1800 damage, right? Because it's going to be 600% each Sessua Sakura. Okay. But yeah, let's go ahead and talk about our constellations, the relevant ones. I'm going to go ahead and skip C3 and C5 since those are just level raises for talents on her skill and burst, right? As far as the three constellations that have been tweaked, C1, when this is one of them, C1, when Yaimiko Elemental Burst triggers a Sky Kitsune Thunderbolt, she recovers 7 energy for herself. And that's going to, you know, obviously help tremendously for her her burst cost, right? 7 energy is pretty huge to recover, especially if that's 7 energy particles. Considering like I usually only see like 4 being max for whenever I'm using like Diona or something like that, right? So that's going to be huge. Obviously, she's like whale friendly for her constellations if you decide to roll. So far, just on C1. Her C2, another tweak. The elemental skill cooldown is reduced by 20%. And its attack AoE is increased by 100%. So that's going to be huge, obviously, for her being sub-DPS. When you just drop her skill and leave the field. And you know, letting her cast her skill more frequently and obviously being able to do wider range. All right, so that's definitely huge. I don't know if so far if these are going to be necessary. I mean, a 5-star character, no constellation are necessary. Let's get that straight right now. No constellations are necessary for C5 characters. Everything else is quality of life and unlocking full potential of the character, right? Anyways, let's get into C4, which is not a tweak. This is just her C4. Or when Sessho Sakura Lightning hits an opponent, the electro damage bonus of all nearby party members is increased by 20% for 5 seconds. So, that C4 definitely sounds like it's going to be like, you know, obviously, great support for your electro characters. You know, waving at Kaching, waving at Raiden, Beidou, Fischl. Obviously, it's going to be pretty huge for that multiplier when her skill's out for them. I mean, it's only 5 seconds though, so unless they're like constantly hitting, I guess that might you know make a difference. Actually, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see when the testing comes out. C6, though. Now, this one's been tweaked. When a Sessho Sakura is created, its initial level becomes 2, and the maximum level increases to 4. Sessho Sakuras ignore 60% of enemy defense as well. So that's going to be pretty huge, okay? Obviously, that's like the Raiden C2. But also adding more to it, making her E skill do way more damage. Looking at her like talents and percentage scaling, at level 10, I think her E skill barely crosses 200%, you know, skill damage. So I don't know how much it's gonna really affect her damage overall, but I mean 60% ignoring defense should definitely increase it, right? Let's see, that's her constellations. We have some ascension materials leaked out too. If you want to level her, see Ganoderma must be collected. Hand guards for pretty much everything, her leveling and, you know, her talents. Book of Lights for her talents. And then also the Dragon Air's False Fin, which is basically the new Geo Vishap boss that you do in Economia. And then finally, Vajrada Stones, those purple stones that you got to do for level character leveling. But anyways, that's it for Yaimiko. Okay. But Raiden Shogun, there's going to be a rerun of her in 2.5 potentially. Maybe. Yes. It sounds like she's going to be, I don't think she's going to be like side by side with the Yaimiko, but maybe she will be. And if she is, that's going to be a tough pull for either, you know, for free to plays. If if the free to plays don't have Raiden Shogun, but, anyway, as far as, you know, data miners are concerned, they have discovered four new skeletons for Yilan, Shinobu, Haizo, and Ayato. So these four new characters will be playable soon. Yilan, we have little info about, but they got, for some reason, the leakers have high expectations for. Rumored to have appeared along with Yunjin and other Liyue characters during Gooba's story scene, all during the Moon Chase Festival. All right. Also rumored to mirror Fu Hua in Honkai Impact for you MiHoYo fans who play Honkai Impact, for you gacha fans rather. And then body type supposed to be similar to Ningguang, Yaimiko, Kokomi. I feel like those three characters, like, will not look the same though. Are they saying like flowy dress type? Is that maybe that's why? Because Ningguang's tall, Kokomi is like mid height, and Yaimiko looks like she's gonna be tall. But anyways, that's Yilan. Like I said, there's not really too much about the character yet, except for what I just said. Next character I'm going to discuss, Kuki Shinobu. Okay. Electro Vision character. Similar body type to Ayaka, Sucrose, and Yanfei. So I guess that being said, so like probably poofy dress is what I'm thinking. Okay. She is Arataki Ito's sidekick, the deputy of the Arataki gang. Her job is to keep Ito in check. You know, she's a caretaker, bails him out of jail type thing, you know, helps him with his antics, keeps him out of trouble basically though. Kuki Shinobu was expected for a 2.5 release with Yaimiko, but it seems that she's going to be pushed back for one more update. And that is all I have for her. Next character, Shikanoin Haizo, Inazumin detective, works for the Tenryo Commission, always seen in official uniform based on in-game data located on Inazuma's bulletin boards. And he's going to have a similar body type to Goro, Shingcho, and Toma. Which I don't know why the leakers like group it up with those type of three characters, but I have to assume it's probably like clothing type or something. I don't know, because they're like all different heights. Toma's tall, okay. Shingcho is like mid height, like he's not like tall. Goro's mid height, so there's all these characters are like wide range of heights. So I don't know what they mean by body type. Anyway, Kamisato Ayato. This is, you know, a fan favorite. Everyone's waiting for this guy. Ayaka's older brother. He's the head of the Kamisato clan. Expected to release in April. The update, 2.6 update. Likely a Hydro Vision character. And he's going to be one of those tall husbandos, right? And I guess there's supposed to be new Ekonomiya regions in 2.5. Along with a Raiden Shogun weekly boss fight. Yeah, she's supposed to like clap you pretty easily. There's supposed to be like a lot of phases to her and, you know, a potential one shot hit on her like burst that she does to you. And so that'll be interesting. You know, definitely want to fight her again. In 2.5, I'm going to be talking about right now the new weapons for 2.5. And right now, I'm going to talk about the 5-star catalyst, the Kagura Suzu. I believe it's supposed to be Aimiko's best in slot weapon. It has a 608 base attack with 66.2 crit damage. So this is our first 5-star crit damage weapon. So this is going to be huge for Catalyst users, regardless of who uses it. It's the Aimiko's signature weapon. The R1 passive is, when using an elemental skill, the character receives the Shinra Dance, increasing elemental skill damage by 12%. The effect lasts 12 seconds and stacks 3 times. When 3 stacks are reached, wielder gains additional 12% damage. So, that's like a total of 24% damage at 3 stacks of her elemental skill. So, that's going to be huge for, obviously, her Sesshō... What is it called? The Sesshō Sakura. Yeah, the Sesshō Sakura. That's going to be released, you know, that's going to be a weapon banner. I guess this one will be her free-to-play weapon, maybe, I don't know, but it's a 4-star catalyst. The Oathsworn Eye, it's 565 base attack. Secondary stat is a 27.6% attack percentage. The R5 passive for this catalyst is increases energy recharge by 48% for 10 seconds after using an elemental skill. So, that's actually huge for like catalyst characters, man. Like, especially energy hungry ones. I don't know who else would use it though. Like, I don't know who I'd use that for. Anyways, besides the weapons to talk about, we have finally on my list of discussion outfits and skins, focusing on Mondstadt characters for 2.5. We're probably going to get an official update, it seems like. And then they're saying we're going to get a D-Luke skin too, and potentially the KFC skin. Why? Anyways, I doubt it, but that's all I got for Genshin Impact, discussion for 2.4 impressions and my 2.5 leaks that I've compiled so far. That being said, please check out the Facebook. Many of you guys have. Definitely leave that page a like if you can. Answer my question of the days there. Or, check out if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review there. That's the best way to help grow this channel. Also check out my YouTube channel, the Win in Rome channel. It's WINNINROME, like when in Rome, but like the pun, right? I do Genshin content there. I do anime stuff there as well. I do my own music there, music videos. I'm going to be releasing a movie soon that I've been working on this past year on my channel. So please, for future content, definitely follow, like, subscribe, whatever it is that you have to do so that you get updated and, stay connected with me on this journey for Genshin Impact stuff, right? I'm going to keep doing these Genshin Impact podcasts, since it seems like there's not really a strong foothold for the Genshin Impact community for podcasts. Considering it's a visual game, right? I totally understand. That being said, I hope you guys had a great day. Have a great, rest of January. I might release another episode before the end. I don't know. I'll try. I'll be looking forward to doing, reviews on TV shows that I've watched, I think, or movies like Don't Look Up. I was going to be doing a podcast with a buddy soon. And I have a lot of anime slated to be reviewed. So stay tuned, guys. And thank you again for joining me. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Now you're dealing with the smooth operator. You're just a fixer with a whole lot of flavor.